Hi, the reading today is from John, and I'm starting to read from chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
One of the last times I came to speak, about three quarters of the way through the sermon, I started coughing like mad. So I've come pre-armed today. So I'm going to put them there just in case. So if you see me suddenly put them into my mouth, then you'll know what's catch there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look at your word, pray that you speak to each one of us through it and help us to understand. Thank you for the words that you spoke and for the challenges they present. For your name's sake, amen. So we've been going through the Gospel of John, and we've now come to the end of the Last Supper. The disciples have spent that time with Jesus, and they've been listening to what he had to say, and quite a lot of it has been very challenging. And now comes the time, right at the end of chapter 14, he says, come, let us go from this place. And so they go out into what may be the twilight, late evening. And as they're walking, they may be walking through vineyards, or they may be walking past the temple where part of the decoration on the temple building were the grapes and vines there. But then Jesus, he's very concerned for them. He wants them to keep hold of him. He wants them to keep faithful, because he knows that the next few hours are going to be very traumatic, both for him and for the disciples. And he speaks to them about being the vine. I am the vine, and you are the branches. As we look at this, we're going to be looking at five little parts of this. In the first part, we look at the first three, which is that as attached to the vine, as we are attached to the vine, we are part of the life of Jesus. When he being the vine and we being the branches, and we should stay attached. Then it's going to be looking at producing the fruit. How does that happen and who does it? And then we're going to be looking at some painful pruning by God. And in the second part, we'll be looking at how away from Jesus we are powerless, but with Jesus we are powerful and fruitful. But that will be for part two. So part one, let's get underway. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Notice the words true and the in that. We'll come back to those. And you might wonder, how do you tell the difference between a true vine and a false vine, as it were? Well, Jesus said in another place, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Basically, you tell a good tree, a good vine, by what you get, what it produces. And the sort of fruit we produce depends on the sort of person that we are. And that's what it's trying to say Jesus is saying through this. The problem is that in our natural condition, we are not good fruit producers. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore the fruit of death. In our natural condition, we are away from God, and we can't produce the fruit that God is looking to produce in us. So we are dependent on Him. Now here's what Paul has to say about how we are without Jesus. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Our natural aim is that we want to do what pleases us. We want to keep ourselves happy, and we're not interested in worshipping God or following Him. And we just don't have the spiritual life to know and to follow. Dead in sins, he says. And that's true for everybody, as Paul says in Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all in our human nature are short of what he wants and are sinners. So what does Jesus have to say? Well, apart from what we've just read there, he underlines our need of him. Do you remember this verse in the last chapter we looked at? Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Notice there what he's saying. The way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he's not saying, as we would like him to say sometimes, "I am a way that you can find God. I am one of the truths that you can find, and that's a good way. I'm a good way to life. And yeah, you can get to the Father other ways, but I'm one of the ways." No, he's saying, "I am the only way." Just as he said, "I am the vine. I am the one. You need to follow me." He underlines that in his conversation with Nicodemus, where he says this, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And by that he means born of water and the Spirit. We just don't have spiritual life in us, in our natural state, and we need to be born again. Nicodemus wondered what that was meaning, but Jesus says this, we need new spiritual life. Without him, we don't have that. So, spiritual life comes from being in that vine. The life is in Jesus. The life is in the vine. But we do have responsibility. When we come to know Jesus, we need to remain. We need to stay there. Remain is me, as I also remain in you. How does he remain in us? Well, that's through the Holy Spirit, which he gives us when we come to know him, in us, working in us to produce the fruit. But what if I wander? What if I go away? And we're prone to do that. Well, we can come back. Forgiveness is available, but we do need to come back. We do need to keep trusting in Jesus and putting our faith in him. Sometimes, I'll just try and explain this. There's a bit of a misapprehension here. Anybody of you play in the past the game of Monopoly at all? Does anybody remember playing that? I have to confess that in days gone by, I was a bit of a Monopoly fiend in our family. We took it fairly seriously, running around here, sort of diddling people out of their rents and what have you. And it's all good fun, but then you might find yourself landing on this square. Go to jail. You either land on the square or you get a card which says, go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect £200. You are in trouble. I sentence you to 3 turns out of the game. And oh dear, unless you have picked up one of these. Get out of jail card free. You look at your hands and you think, oh great, I've got to get out of jail card free. And this apparently is a get out of jail card free from 1936. And someone is being encouraged to leave their jail with a friendly kick from the behind. But with one of those, you're free, you can roam the board again, everything's great. You've got one of those, there it is. So why is he talking about monopoly, you might be thinking? Well, there's a danger that we can think of Jesus in that way. We can think of Jesus as a get out of hell free card. We can think, I've come to Jesus, it's all done, and I can just carry on with my life as normal now. I can put that into my back pocket, just live as I've done before without any care and attention, and present it to St. Peter at the heaven's gate on my way up, and everything will be well. You've missed the point. Basically, Jesus is interested not in just saving us, he's interested in us following him. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I see we've got hell there. Never mind. Okay. I know them, they follow me. And that's what God is looking us to do. He's looking not just to save us, but also to change us, to make us more like Jesus. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to give us the strength and make us fruitful. He wants us to be part of that vine, and he wants us to bear fruit. Good fruit. But how on earth is that going to happen? And that's what we get in that verse there. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. He's looking for us to bear fruit. And that, when you look at it, is quite a worrying verse. You think to myself, gosh, if I don't bear fruit, he's going to cut me off. He wants us to remain, to keep attached to Jesus, because if we go wandering off, then we won't bear the fruit. It's not a matter of just trying harder to think, right, I really must try and see if I can get a grape to pop out here somehow, you know, maybe fool God. But no, he can only do it in his strength. It's not in our strength that we bear this fruit, and we need to realize that. We need to stay attached, to remain in Jesus. And that's the point. This is the verse from Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are fruits which God wants to make in our lives. And he does it by the Holy Spirit, sending it him to us. And as we follow the Holy Spirit's promptings, this fruit comes. And it's the Holy Spirit that produces this fruit. But we do have something to do as it continues. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. I'll come to that in a moment. But since we live by the Spirit, since we have the Holy Spirit in us, let us keep in step with the Spirit, is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. What does that mean? Well, here are some thoughts on that. Being listening to his promptings, the Holy Spirit's promptings, being open to that. Praying for his help. Praying Lord, I want to follow you today. Please show me what you want me to do. Spending time in his word, looking at the Bible, seeing what Jesus instructs us to do. Not rushing in without peace, just taking time to pray. Not long prayers, but just asking, Lord, what will you have me do here? And when we get it wrong, as we do, and will, confessing our mistakes, as we've done in the service before, apologising and starting again. The last bit I want to look at in this part of the service is this painful pruning by God, so fruit can grow. My Father is the gardener, is what Jesus says. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. He wants to make us more like Jesus. He wants us to bear better fruit. Now, pruning is painful. There's no getting away from that. When you get a pair of pruning shears, it's not going to be something without pain. But it's for our benefit. God wants it for our good. God wants to change us into someone better. And it's to make us more like Jesus. God has our interests at heart. And it's the battle with our nature, which we looked at in that verse. Those belonging to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Our natural instinct is to want to do things that please just us. To be selfish. But God is working in us to change that, to be more like Jesus. It's saying no to self when our desires would go against what he wants, and that can be painful. It's when God shows us what needs to go, and that can be something different for every person, because every person is different. What might tempt me would be something that you probably wouldn't can do quite happily. God knows what's best for each one of us. And he knows our own weaknesses. So as I say, it might be something that somebody else could do quite nicely without it being a problem for them, but sometimes it can be a weakness for youth. If I battle with alcohol, and one mug of beer could put me right back, then that's something I've got to keep away from. For others, it might be something that you can enjoy, no problem. So he knows our weakness, and we have to listen to him and be prepared to let go. But lastly, here, we can be pruned through painful events. And I'm not saying here that God sends these events deliberately, but sometimes he uses them to bring changes into our lives, to make us more fruitful. Take Joseph, for example. Remember, he was giving his dream to his brothers, and then he finds himself in the bottom of a pit and being sold into slavery. And God used that. He used that to give him patience and to build his life. And then later, when God blessed him, even as a prisoner, he was thrown into a jail because of being faithful to God and keeping away from Potiphar's wife. Again, doing the right thing seems to lead to the wrong conclusion, but God uses that, and soon Joseph was able to save lots of people by being controlled in Egypt. So, yeah, working through painful events. But one person who knows all about that is Job. And Job went through the most incredible train of events. One moment his life was wonderful, and the next moment just about the whole world had caved in on him. And his attitude was, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. He was prepared to praise God even though he didn't understand. And God worked that through him. And some of the times we look back in our lives, we may think, God, what on earth were you doing there? I can't understand it. But he works through all circumstances. I don't know if you remember, well, you won't remember Horatio Spafford because he was in 1865 or something like that, so I don't think even Joyce can remember him. But he was working in America and his company collapsed. And the only thing he could do was go back to England. And while he tied things up, he sent his wife and their four daughters back to England on a ship. But the ship sank halfway across. And his wife sent him a telegraph when she did arrive in England. Saved alone. She was the only one of the family that had been saved. His four daughters lost. And on the way back to England himself, the captain stopped at a particular point halfway across the Atlantic. He said, "This is where that ship went down." And it inspired him to write this verse. We're going to sing it in just a minute. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when things are going well, or when troubles like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well, is my soul." It's incredible courage to work like that. You see, we won't always understand what happens, but we trust God anyway, because through all things, he can work good in these things. We won't know. God's plan, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's got plans for us. He wants our best. We need to let him do that. We'll come back a little while later and look at the last two. "I am the vine and you are the branches." Again, we're looking how, as followers of Jesus, we need to remain in him. Jesus, the true vine. Part two. Jesus is essential. And I want to just here to clear one thing up. Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Basically, I said we have a responsibility to remain, but remember, salvation is only through the work of Jesus. The only way we can be clean is through Jesus' death on the cross because of what he did for us. We are totally dependent on him. This is what Isaiah wrote. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." We are dependent on him for our salvation. We can't earn it. It's not a case of us sort of trying hard and working hard and on this. It's us trusting in him. "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast," is what Paul writes to the Ephesians. And that's a passage that we're quite familiar with, I suspect, if you've been coming to church for a while. What does it mean? By grace. What's grace? It's not something you just say after dinner, or it can be, I suppose, but that's not what's meant here. It's unmerited favour. Favour that we don't deserve. We don't earn it. It's given to us by love. Through faith, that's believing and trusting in what we don't see. Faith is a strange concept. Like, for example, if I've got a chair over here, I might believe that if I sit in it, it will bear my weight. That's good. But until I actually go down and sit in it, I won't know. And if I got the faith to actually go around there lower myself into it and sit down. Then we find out if my faith was well founded. It's like Abraham. Do you remember him? God said, leave this country, leave your family, take your wife and go out and start afresh. Didn't tell him where. He said, go and do it. Now, Abraham had three choices there. He might say, I don't believe that. Not interested. So that would be a total lack of faith. Or he might have said, well, yes, I believe that, but no, I think I'll stay put here anyway. He might believe what God said, but not go and put his faith in it. When the faith becomes real is when he says, yes, I believe what he says, and yes, I'm going to do it, and he actually does it. That's when his faith was rewarded. A gift of God. That faith which we have, which God rewards, he gives it to us in the first place. That's incredible news. He opens our eyes to the truth behind this and says, come. And then he gives us the faith to believe that. Strengthens our faith. And notice there, it's not by works. So we can't boast about it. We can't earn it. We just thank God for his grace towards us. So we can't earn our own salvation. But Jesus still instructs us, remain in me. When we have this salvation, we remain in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus absolutely understands that, underlines that point. He makes it completely clear that apart from him, we can do nothing. I mean, there's supposed to be lines being underlined. So he underlines and stresses the point here that we are dependent on him and we need to remain in him. It is absolutely vital that we do so. Because apart from him, we are vulnerable. Apart from him, he is the one that has the words of eternal life. And there are two verses in the Bible which really contrast. They're both true, and they both show us what we need to know. And they are these. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With Jesus remaining in him, we have power. We have strength. And that's a good verse. It's the sort of verse you might stick on your fridge door. But then look at this verse. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's from the passage we've just read. The contrast. With Jesus, we have power. Without of him, we have nothing. We can do nothing. We can obviously do things in the physical, but spiritually we can't do. And that's a bit of a problem for us, because often as Christians, and I'm as guilty as anybody on this, we can think, I can do quite a few things as following Jesus by myself without asking his help. And we sort of store Jesus away like this red phone. It's there if we need him. Just pick it up, dial 999 in an emergency, and ask for God's help. And it's so easy to keep God for emergencies only, rather than to let him help us and to let him show us what he wants to do in our day-to-day lives. And it's a temptation that we find easy to fall into. We need his word to instruct us. We need his spirit to guide us. His strength to submit to him, and his peace to follow him. We need to depend on Jesus. Remember, nothing means nothing. In our own physical, natural state, we can't please him. We can't do it. Whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life, is what John says later in his letter. We need him to remain in Jesus. But having said that, if we do remain in Jesus, then we are powerful and fruitful. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I should just say a little bit about that second line there. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Some have taken that out of context there and think, right, I could do myself with a Rolls Royce. I could do myself for something wonderful. We're looking here for what's needed to follow Jesus. If it's looking to glorify God and help us in that, we can ask and we'll be strengthened. It's for his Father's glory that you may bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples, to follow him. Now, if you contrast that with this, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Remaining in Jesus, we have the potential to please God and to follow him. Going away without him, we can't. So, to sum up, as we follow Jesus, remain in him. Keep close to him. Submit to him. Look for his way. Hear his prompting. Read his word. When we make mistakes, as we will, confess those mistakes. Because we have an understanding Saviour. We know he knows us. As it says in Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathise with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So he knows our weaknesses. He can forgive us. Keep trusting in him. And a reminder, a couple of things as I finish. This is what God has created us to be. Yes, he reaches out to us, he brings us salvation, but he wants to make us more like Christ Jesus, to do good works which he's prepared in advance for us to do, to follow his way. Remain in Jesus, the fruit will come. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. He's the one that can help us bear that fruit. Now, as I've been talking, you may know more about this Christianity than I do. Or it may be something that, well, I've heard about it, but I'm never quite sure what it actually entails. If you're curious, if you're thinking, I don't really know about this here. I've been coming to church regularly, but, you know, I'm not sure what this is all about. Here's a chance to explore it. It's starting tomorrow, and it's there for about 7 Mondays in a row, I should say, from 7:30 to 9 at St. John's Church. Explore this Christianity, explore what's behind what we've been saying. The best news you've ever heard, that's what we as Christians would say the gospel is. The best news you've ever heard because it gives you hope. So, if you want to explore that, please let us know and we'll get that sorted. It's there as an offer. Let's pray. Lord, it's been challenging stuff today. It's so easy to wander away and try and do things in our own strength. Help us to depend on you and keep close to you, we pray. For your name's sake, amen.